This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma.
Hello, we want to welcome you back to the Uncensored Dads, the Uncensored Word podcast, here with Matt Olson from the Chipman Earl Congregation there in Lee Summit, Missouri, myself, Russ Earl from the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. We've had a little bit of a break, some because of camp, some because of sickness. You may be able to hear it in my voice, but we're glad to be back here with you today, be able to continue looking to the Word of God together. We're going to begin a new series today. Normally, it probably would have been a mini-series with us, maybe a little bit longer because we like to talk. But we're looking at this series, the title I've given it, When God Seems Far Away. And I think we have to, when we think about that title, at least for me, I think you have to keep in mind that word seems far away. Because when I think about that phrase, I think about Job and events that transpired in his life. And I look at all the things that happens from Job chapter 3 moving forward. And to me, you have really, in many ways, the attempt to make by Satan to make God seem far away from Job. To me, that was at least one of his goals, was to make it seem like God wasn't near him. We know also that Job says that he felt like God had made him his enemy. But we too sometimes can fall into this trap, believing that God is far away from us, maybe because of, for a whole lot of reasons, really. Maybe because we have gone through a rough time and we feel like God has answered our prayers in the way we think that he should. Maybe because of loss of our job or a decline in health, whatever it may be. But we have to remember, just because we allow our minds to think that God seems far away, doesn't mean that is actually the case, because the Bible tells us that God is never far from the faithful. I want us to read for just a moment what I have as a key verse for this particular lesson, and that's Psalm 10 and verse 12. Well, I'm going to read this, and I'll let Matt add anything he'd like here. But in Psalm 10 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble," and that's Psalm 10 and verse 12. And so our purpose today, as we look at this particular lesson, because again, this series is called When God Seems Far Away. Well, this particular lesson is called Forget Not the Humble. And so we want to remind everyone that God has not forgotten the humble. And so I'm going to pause here for just a moment. Brother Matt, add anything you like as we continue looking at this this theme, When God Seems Far Away. Brother Matt?
Yeah, you kind of think of humble. I mean, meek is quiet, gentle, and easily imposed, kind of submissive. I don't think God forgets us at all. I mean, I know there are times when we go through life and we get up and down, and we think, why is God not there? Why is God not answering my prayers? And we have to realize that one thing is God never left, right? God cannot be around sin. We know that, but God is always there. He never leaves. He never leaves us. I think about that. What's that poem? Oh, it's called the Footprints poem. You know, you hear about it where you're walking in the sand. You see two sets of footprints. And then, you know, the guy says, "I only see one." And God's like, "Yeah, that's when I carried you. That's when I picked you up." Kind of like we're talking about Job, how Job was thinking that, well, God is far away. God never left you, Job. You know, and we think about just throughout the Bible how there's so many stories that people think, well, God left me. God left me because, you know, of this. No, we need to be mindful of God never leaves. God is always there. You know, we think of God as, when life is good, we forget about him, right? I mean, when life is bad, we want to pray to him and be like, God, I need this. But when life is good, we're like, nah, I got this, right? So when we think about God forget not the humble, what about Jesus' words in Matthew 5? You know, the Beatitudes. There's so many blessings there. So, but God never leaves us.
You know, we are also reminded there in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 27. He says, "So they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." That's Acts 17:27. And basically, now the idea of him not being far from each one of us is not the idea that we have to actually go out and find God, but he is near us. And that's what that verse is really bringing to light there, that God is near us. The psalmist also tells us that when he says there that he has been young, he has been old, but he has never seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread, which tells us that God is not far away. God is always near to the righteous. If God is far away, then the idea is that if we think about it this way, if God can be far away, that means that God is not omnipresent, which means he's not everywhere. But because God is omnipresent, he is everywhere, then he's never far away. You know, God hears the prayers of the righteous. He answers those prayers, and he is always near to us, and he's near to those who put their faith in him. And so, again, that's why I use that word when God seems far away, because at times, you know, it's kind of like that song, and I've been looking at several things to write about concerning this, but we hear that song. I think it's maybe it's in the chorus or maybe it's in the song, but it has the phrase "when darkness veils his lovely face," talking about when sin veils, you know, the face of God or the face of Christ and prevents us from seeing him clearly because we allowed sin to darken our path. And that's kind of the same idea here. We allow sin or hardship or troubles or persecutions or all kinds of stuff to make us feel like, well, God is far away from us because all this bad stuff is happening. And we have to realize, you know, that, for instance, Job, he had a lot of stuff that happened to him, but he was still called, you know, a servant of God in the beginning and in the end. Abraham had a lot of hardship. He was still called a servant of God, as well was Moses and, you know, Joshua and all these other individuals throughout the Bible who had all these bad things happen to them, but they still knew God was there. It doesn't mean they didn't have questions about why these things were happening, but they still knew God was there. I mean, Paul knew that God was there as he wrote those letters from prison. He wrote most of his letters from prison, and he always knew that God was there. It's interesting that Paul, writing from prison, encouraged people to remain faithful while he himself was in prison because of being a faithful servant of God. So let's continue on here looking at this topic of forget not the humble. Focusing primarily from Psalm 10. In Psalm 10, verse 1, the Bible says, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble?" That's Psalm 10, verse 1. Now, no doubt some of us have felt this way at times. It may seem that God stands afar off in times of trouble. We mean times of trouble. We mean just times of difficulty. Again, it could be anything. But the question is that really the case? Has God forgotten the humble while the wicked prospers? Look with me at Psalm 9, and we're going to look at Psalm 9 in verse, did I say that backwards? Oh, that's right. Psalm 7, there we go. Psalm 7, verse 9. I'm blaming that on the meds. Psalm 7, verse 9 says here, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. That's Psalm 7 and verse 9. So do the wicked really prosper? Well, we know sometimes they do. I mean, people do wicked things because they can get paid well for doing it. I mean, the first thing I think of is Hollywood. They do a lot of wicked stuff just for the money. And then they turn around and try to tell everybody else how to live their lives and be motivational speakers, which to me is almost comical. But, you know, do the wicked prosper? If you define prosperity as being financially wealthy, then yeah, they do a lot of times. But prosperity shouldn't be measured simply by wealth. And, you know, I remember one lady, this has been years and years ago, told me she was down. She was very, you know, distraught, and this denomination just seems to be really growing and prospering. I said, "How do you measure prosperity?" I said, "They're teaching false doctrine. How much can they really be prospering?" And then she understood prosperity isn't seen with the eyes many times. It is seen by our faithfulness to God and the blessings that God's given us. Because on the day of judgment, we'll see who has truly prospered in this life. Now I'm going to stop there before we get into the next few verses here. Let Matt add anything he'd like here.
Yeah, I love that you brought up Paul and Philippians. I mean, think about Philippians. What is the whole purpose of it? Joy in mm-hmm. suffering, joy in serving, joy in believing, joy in giving. He was sitting in a jail, you know, and he was joyful. He was joyful with all things. And, you know, you think about that, he's sitting in the, those prisons weren't like today, man. He didn't have a TV. He didn't have a nice mat. I say mat. They have beds now and, you know, luxury. It's luxury today. Back then, it was the pit of the pit with rats. And he was joyful in all things. He was telling the Philippians, hey, be joyful in these situations. You know, and is it like you said, is this really the case? Has God forgotten the humble while the wicked prosper? The wicked don't care. The wicked know nothing of. They might know God, but they don't care about God. They care about what's going on today. You know, like, and you talk about prosperity. Prosperity in everybody's eyes is how much money can you make? How much land do you have? How much things can you possess? Just remember this little thing is there is never a U-Haul following a hearse. Right? Because you can't take things with you, right? I mean, you know, and I remember Noah saying that, you know, you can't go to heaven naked, right, in one of his sermons, because we're putting off the old man and we're putting on the new. Yeah, we're going to have the new man with us when we go to heaven, but we can't take these things that we just get, right? And sometimes we get caught up, even in dirty lives, I'll admit, like, in my daily life, you know, I get caught up in the working environment of, oh man, we got bills to pay, we got this, and it fluctuates, and you're like, oh man, what are we going to do? Well, I can work more, I can do that. But that takes away from other things. But I know we're talking about God leaving. God will never leave us or forsake us, right? Like you said, we need to stay humble about everything. We don't need to be just grabbing, taking. But, I mean, it's just, Philippians is such a good book to just, he explained. Just think, he's sitting in the jail and he's saying, find joy in this. Find joy in me getting, you know, he's like, I find joy in, not joy, but he's not saying, hey, yeah, keep beating me, keep throwing me in jail. But he's finding joy in situations because he can write these books and he can bring others to Christ. That's an amazing thing to do, you know.
Absolutely. You know, when you think about, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in things because you see things you need to get done. And there's nothing wrong with working hard to provide for your family and those types of things. Yeah. I mean, you can work very, very hard and still, you know, take care of your family and still put God first and those types of things. But if you think about here, the focus that has changed here, the thing that's happened here is that this the writer here is talking basically this idea that he's been so overcome with hardship, or he sees so many wicked people prosper, and he's just wondering, okay, God, when are you going to humble these people? And you know, I think if we're honest, we still feel that way sometimes today as well. We see the wickedness of our government. I don't care who's in charge at the time. There's always wickedness, and you wonder, well, when's God going to, you know, when can we finally see some justice poured out on these people? You know, we see the wicked prospering. We see the wicked going without punishment, it would seem, those types of things. But we have to remember that in the end, that God is the one who is in control. He is the one who can punish people unlike anyone else. And he is the righteous distributor of judgment. And I mentioned earlier that verse from Psalm. That was Psalm 37:25, when he says, I've been young and now I'm old. You have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor just sinless begging bread. That was Psalm 37:25. I want to mention that before I forgot. But let's look on here in Psalm 10. Let's read through verses 2-4 of Psalm 10. Here the Bible says, the wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they had devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. And to me, those are some very, very powerful verses. There's a lot of things said there that we still see that today. You know, that's why it kills me when people say, well, the Bible doesn't apply today. I'm thinking, you haven't read the Bible. That's one of the things I think about. I mean, what book are you reading? Because it hits a nail on the head every single time. You look at verse 2 alone, he says, the wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. The wicked are those who are evil men. And they do what? They're proud. They think they're better than everybody else. What they do? They take advantage of the poor. We see that all the time. He says there in verse 2, let them be caught, that's the wicked, in the plots which they had devised. Many times you think about it, that's exactly what happens. People do things and they bring on their own downfall. See political leaders sometimes, and they bring on their own downfall in various countries. I'm not just saying here in the U.S., but people do things, and what happens, it brings about their own destruction. They set their own nets sometimes, to use, Bible terms. And then he says in verse 3, for the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. To me, that is one of the most prominent things you see. The wealthy people so many times today, not all of them, I mean, I say wealthy many times, I'm thinking like Hollywood level wealthy, multi-millionaire people. But sometimes it's not even those who are doing this, others who are wealthy. But anyway, sometimes those are the individuals who feel like they don't need God. They make fun of other people who put their faith in God. And yet, they'll fail to realize that their wealth is going to come to an end one day. I mean, think about it this way. How many times have we seen people, and I use this example because we see it, we can see it very easily. People know what I'm talking about. You see it in the magazines, you see it in the news, you see well-known people who've made a lot of money over the years who die young because of drug overdose. They die young because they've been drinking and driving. They die young because they commit suicide. Yet they made all this money over the years, which a lot of people put stock in, which will bring you happiness when it happens. Many of them kill themselves. They don't kill themselves, they end up going bankrupt within 10 years because they just blow all their money. It doesn't bring happiness. One of the things I think about, and he wasn't, I enjoyed some of his movies, not all of them. I put that heading on there, but Robin Williams is one of the funniest guys I've seen some of his movies. I mean, I wouldn't recommend all his things, or I wouldn't recommend all his stand-up either, any of them for that matter. But he was very, very funny. And people looked at him like, this guy's hilarious. He probably thought he had it all together. And what happens? Well, he commits suicide. And so things are not always as they seem. You think about, happiness. I think it's one thing that Hollywood teaches us is that happiness cannot come from money. That's one lesson they teach us over and over again. So I'm going to stop there just a second. Let Brother Matt add anything he'd like.
I like how you have on here, the wicked are uncontent and proud. What goes along with, what is it, Psalm 10:3 is 49:6. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches. And I know we keep bringing up Hollywood, but that's a lot of different aspects of our life. Hollywood is a main one that throws around money and wealth and things and all that. But also, too, the wicked behave, like here it says, the wicked behave as if they can do whatever they want. Because if you believe that you just die, you just go away, why not do whatever you want? We know that we are following the word of God, and God says, yeah, you're going to die again, but those who do not follow me are going to be in eternal damnation. And that's the thing. The wicked people of this world, we do it too. We get uncontent. We get very prideful. We think, look at us, look at how powerful we get. And that's with Christians too. I'm not saying it's just with the world. We love to beat our chest sometimes and say, hey, look what I did. I just think of this, the wicked boasts, and the wicked in his pride persecutes the poor, let him be caught in the plot. One thing that we have to do is we have to be patient. Just heard a sermon not too long ago from Noah. Again, I bring up my son, but he talked about the patience of God. The patience of God is, hey, when Sodom and Gomorrah were happening, people were going, hey, God, why don't we destroy that? And he did destroy it. And then World War comes, and we're thinking, man, God, this is terrible. This is horrible. And God's going, be patient, patient. And we look at the world today, and God's like, be patient. There's people still to be saved. And God, it's God's timing. That's what we need to realize, is God's timing is everything. And for him to be patient like he is, he's a loving God. He's a caring God. He wants every soul he can get, But he wants us to make that decision, and that's what we need to realize. It's the patience of God. You know, yeah, the wicked are uncontent and prideful. You know, and say something to plant that seed, maybe. But like how you put in here too, their arrogance and their pride blinds them to their sin. You know, it's the same thing of, well, you know, I'll do this right now. I'll repent later. I'll push that off. You know, I can do what I want now, and maybe when I get older on my deathbed, I can repent. You know, and man, you never know what tomorrow brings. You know, also talking about this, Psalms 94:3 says, "Lord, how long will the wicked? How long will the wicked triumph?" That's what we keep asking ourselves too in our daily lives too. Today, I've seen the news today and everything is, how long will these wicked triumph? Well, that's the patience of God. You know, we can't go whittling on God's side of the stick. He can will on ours all day long. we can't go over there, right? You know, we just gotta be patient.
You know, so. When you think about, sometimes we get comfortable. And we put the idea of us committing sin and kind of the seed of like, well, I really don't sin that much, so I'm not going to worry about it. But it's interesting to think about trying to find pride and contentment, because when I look at Psalm 10, that's what I see, are evil people trying to find contentment and doing whatever it takes to try to bring themselves happiness. If you look at verse 3, back at verse 2, he says here how they persecute the poor there in verse 2. In verse 3, he blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. In verse 4, he says the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God, meaning their priority is just trying to make themselves content and happy, which if you go back and look at the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher there, as the term is used, basically spends, you know, those several chapters there saying that money doesn't come from material things, happiness doesn't come from material things, including money or other things, whether it be money or actual material possessions. Because you look at verses 2 through 4, we definitely see where they despise God. We see where they don't even think about him. You know, I'm on Instagram and there's a lot of interesting stuff I'm on sorry. There. Some of it's ridiculous. Do what?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you find all kinds of little memes and things, and some of them are pretty neat, but some not. But one of them I came across, and it was this whole, there were several accounts that did these types of things. They're supposed to be motivational, but the common thread was throughout all these accounts was that money brought happiness. And one of the memes had a picture of some billionaire. I don't know who the guy is, so he can't be that big, right? I don't know who he is, but and he had on there these different quotes about things he had done. He said, you know, have you worked 100 hours a week? I don't know how many hours are in a week, but, and he's like, you know, I have you ever celebrated Christmas in February? I have, this other stuff. And it was all because he wanted to make money. He'd do everything else later. And when I read that, I thought, that's pathetic. You know, why would you do those things just for material wealth that you're not going to hang on to anyway? You know, one I saw just recently was, you know, if your friends don't want to do something you do, just go ahead and do it. You know, if your friends don't want to do this, but you do, go ahead and do it. Basically was forget all your friends, just do whatever you want to do. And I thought, yeah. Wow, it was all teaching selfishness and materialism. And the Bible goes right against all those things because they don't bring happiness.
Yeah, and if you look at verse...
Do what?
Your own selfish desires. And just to let you know, there's 168 hours in a week.
Thank you. So there you go. He left 68 hours for everything else.
For everything else. That's sleep and that's sleep, that's kids, that's wife, that's wow.
Yeah. I'm sure his heart really didn't chill 100 hours a week. You know, he probably lived to be 50. I don't know who the guy was, but anyway. Well, if you look at verse 3 here, he says, for the wicked boast of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. And I think about how I have seen this personally, face to face with people who have, I'm not saying every person is like this, because I know a lot of guys who have started their own business and they work very hard, but they still make time for their family, for their friends, stuff like that. And I see guys who are like, no, you gotta work. you got to work 20 hours, you know, a day to get this business off the ground or not be successful, blah, blah, blah. And they're putting all this time, all this effort into it. And when you talk to them, they look exhausted. They're very tired. They're not very sociable. They're very on edge. And if you look at verse 3, look what he says here. For the wicked boast of his heart's desire. And you talk to the same people, that's what they do. They boast about what they're doing. They boast about their job and all the stuff they're trying to do. You know, I have no problem people having dreams. But at the same time, your dreams cannot control every single aspect of your life. And again, I think about those who work so much every day, those who work so much every week, that they almost never see their family, never see their friends, never have a time for God, that kind of stuff. Never even think about God. Because you look at verse 3, that's what he says. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. Renounces can also be defined here according to Strong's, so it being used to spurn, to despise, to abhor. Basically, the idea there, he just completely just shuts God out of the picture because he is worried about, he or she is worried about themselves and not concerned about God at all. Did you want to add anything, Matt, before I get to verse 4?
Yeah, 94. Psalm 94:4 says, they utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. Yeah, boasting. And you talk about working is, man, there's some weeks that I'm like, I feel like I work too much. And I'm just like, I'm out. Like throwing the towel. You're like, I'm done. I quit. I just want to go home and see my wife and kids and sit there on the couch and go, hey, you know. But it's like, man, you think about that, though. Like, you talk about that billionaire, 100 hours a week. And what are you working for? What do you get to enjoy? You got 68 hours left. That includes sleep, you know. That includes spending time with your children, your wife, or maybe he didn't have any of those things. But what are you enjoying in life? God wants us to enjoy this beautiful earth that he made and to enjoy life. You know, he says, go work for what you need, you know, but to kill ourselves, I mean, man, I feel like going over 40 hours a week, I kill myself. I'm like, I don't want to, you know, it's like you pout. You're like, I don't want to do this anymore, you know. You start crying and moaning, but I don't get it with people, but some people just get so entrapped in things, right? And we've all got caught in that too, of money or possessions. You just think, oh, I've got to have, got to have, got to have. And man, no, you don't. You know, it's stuff you can't take with you. You can't take this stuff with you when you go. I mean, leave a legacy of a God legacy in your family, not of monetary thing. That's the thing. You know, don't be prideful. Just love God and love your family. That's the brunt of it.
You know, you're saying that, you know, leaving a legacy. I remember this was way back when I was still in preaching school. I think I was getting ready to leave preaching school, actually. But one of the deacons there at Kansas Expressway gave a lesson. It was about leaving a legacy of faith is what he was talking about. And it was a great lesson. I actually have it recorded somewhere. But it was all about leaving a legacy of faith, you know, working hard, doing this, that, and the other. But putting God first and taking care of your family, just like we're talking about right now, leaving that legacy of, you know, showing your family what was most important. And if you look at verses 2 and 3, you see these individuals. And I keep saying he like it's a guy or a man like it's a guy, but it applies to men or women. The idea is, it's mankind. It focuses all on personal pleasures. And by the way, if you work 100 hours a week, that's 15 hour days, 7 days a week.
That's crazy.
But you look at verse 4 of Psalm 10, he says here, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. To me, that's like a direct result of verses 2 and 3. They seek greediness, or they seek gain, and seek to oppress the poor to make themselves prosper even further. They boast about their evil actions that brought them, you know, wealth, whatever it may be. They bless only the greedy. They despise God. In verse 4, he says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. To me, that is a terrifying thing to think about. to not seek God, to have no thinking, not considering God at any time, and throughout your you know, life, or at least throughout that time of your life. I mean, think about for a second, when I think about that verse 4, I think about what would happen if we went one day, just one day, and you never thought about God once. You know, you never prayed, you never read your Bible, you didn't think anything about any of the church lessons you heard from church recently. You didn't listen to any podcast. You didn't do any reading that had anything biblical in it. You didn't watch any, you know, church or Bible related programming, and you didn't do anything that would cause you to think about God for a single day. To me, that's not a very good day, to put it mildly. To never pray once in a single day, to never think about God at all. But you take that and just say you multiply that by 7, make an entire week where you never think about God, you never seek Him, you never do anything. To me, that's a very dark week, you know, a very dark time in a person's life. And so, one thing about verse 4, these people are living, whether they know it or not, in a very dark time. And it's because they do not seek God. And it's because He is in another thoughts there in verse 4. And so we want to avoid that. We want to avoid getting into this trap of we don't think about God. And I think sometimes people don't realize that that's where they are. But yet we think about those today who only come on special days, right? I don't care where you are. You always have those who are only there on quote unquote Easter Sunday, right? You put that in quotations. You have those who are only there, you know, on Mother's Day because their mother wants them there. And so they're picking their mother to services or whatever. I didn't really see that done much for Father's Day, but I do see that for Mother's Day, you know, for Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas. Oh yeah. They're going to be there for that Christmas lesson. Right. But to me, that just sounds like verse 4. They don't think about God. Even though they're there, they don't think about Him before that. They don't think about Him after.
Yeah. Well, think about Psalms 14:1. It says, "A fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, man, that would be pretty, like you said, 7 days. That'd be a snowball effect. And it would just be it'd just keep building and building and building. Think about the people mm-hmm. that they know of God, but they don't care. Look at their lives. I mean, you think about God. God is light. God is not darkness. God brings joy. Think about, you know, like we talked about earlier, I'm going to throw this out there, that you've been home for like 3 weeks, man. Kind of not been able to get out and stuff like that. That can get pretty, man, that can be. But you think about the sunlight. You know, you get out in the sunlight and you're like, man, it's happy, joy. You know, you're like, hey. Then it gets all gloomy and cloudy. You're like, man, mm-hmm. God is light. And I didn't mean to throw you under the bus.
That's okay.
I know you've been sick, man. But, you know, but I mean, you think about it. You can only take so much. Like, man, that's hard to think about of not having God. And you're like, just daily, even like you talk about, like thinking about praying to Him, talking about it. You know, just being in a mindset like it's like. Paul says praying without ceasing. That doesn't mean constantly being in prayer. That means having a mindset of God continually. And that's a pretty dark place, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think about sometimes also when, you know, a lot of us last year, I've lost concept of time thanks to this pandemic stuff. But you think about how we had so many, like for Chipman, you had a point where almost everybody in your congregation had COVID, right? And there are very few who are there just running kind of the online services so people could still try to be a part in the best way they could. But think about how you felt when everybody was well, gone through all the, you know, the staying home, the amount of time, all that kind of stuff. But think about how you felt when you finally all got to come, or most of you, came back together for that very first time. When you got to actually see someone's face, you got to actually shake someone's hand, give a hug to someone, you know, talk to people face to face. You know, how much different that was than being isolated from everybody. And I think that's what happens when we don't think about God. We put ourselves on an island that is going to be an island of selfishness. And there's not going to be happiness there. There's not being true joy there. And so whenever we take God out of the picture, to be honest, when we remove God from our lives, if you ever get to the point that we act like verse 4, then we deserve what we get. I've said it before that any plan that does not include God is a plan that deserves to fail. And in verse 4, that's what is happening here. God is not in their plans. And what's going to happen? They're ultimately going to fail.
Yeah.
I wanted to also, I had here marked Philippians 3. You flip over there, Philippians 3, I believe verses 18 to 19. Says here, Philippians 3, verses 18 to 19, yeah. Says, for many walked, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Now, that's Paul's warning there in Philippians, because these individuals, he says there in verse 19, he says, whose God is their belly, which means their God is themselves. They are their own God. They do whatever they want. He says, whose glory is in their shame, which means they take glory in their sinfulness, and who set their mind on earthly things, obviously not upon God, right? And so that's what we're trying to avoid. We don't want to be like them. You notice there in verse 17, he says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, which means he's actually warning people about these people who act this way. He says, and now I tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And who's he talking about? He's talking about those whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. And we want to avoid being like that. Let's also look at Psalm 7 and verse 11. Psalm 7, verse 11 says here, God is a just. Buddy. Do what?
I said, you want me to read that?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
God is a just God, and God is angry with the wicked every day.
You think about that? You put that right along verse 4 of Psalm 10. Why is God angry with the wicked every day? Well, verse 4 of Psalm 10 tells us why. They don't even think about him. And if we don't think about someone, if you don't think about God, does that tell God that you don't need him or that you think you don't need him? I think most definitely. I mean, that is basically screaming by your actions, I don't need you, I don't care about you. Because basically, I got this. That's their idea, right? Yeah. And I've said this before, Bill Gates is a billionaire to what degree. He's in the top three, I think, of the richest people in the world. And I always said, why in the world is that guy working? I would have retired a long time ago. But, there's other people like that, too. You got the guy from Amazon who I think he resigned now to do other things, but he's a billionaire to whatever degree. People at Apple are making big money. Again, you have what you need to be taken care of most definitely. The last place you'd find me would be at a desk. Working for somebody else or working to make more money. At what point do you stop? And I think in Psalms 1 through 4 here, you find the idea these individuals are greedy. Go back to verse 3. He says, he blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The greedy are those who just want more and more and more. There was a movie years ago that was dealt with Wall Street. And the character asked another gentleman, he asked him, what is your number? What he meant by that was, at what point do you have enough money that you'll stop and actually retire? And so he asked him, what is your number? And he said, more, meaning he didn't have a number. He was just going to keep on keeping on. I think there's a lot of people today who are that same way. Their number is more. Just keep going, keep going, and keep going. Do you have anything to add? Go ahead.
Yeah. Just think about, you have $1 million in the bank. You can live off that interest, right? But we always think we need more. I think, oh no, I need more. I can't just live off that, because as you get more, you keep buying more and you keep getting more, and you need to live a certain way. You need to, man, my way of living is just, hey, just pay off my house, dude, and I will just, $1 million in the bank, you can live off that. But I mean, let's turn back to that Psalms 7:11 is. And that's not the store. This is Psalm 7. But it says every day God is angry with the wicked. Every day. Not just, hey, he's angry with them on Monday. It's every single day. because they have forgotten him, you know. And like you said, when we don't think about Christ daily, or think about God daily, how bad is our life? How bad is our day? I mean, if I wouldn't get into the Word daily, or like listen to a podcast, an uplifting thing, a podcast, or doing what we're doing now, I mean, man, I look back on life, it's like, what is your life purpose? You know, is it just to gain, and then you're done? But just think about this. If you had $1 million in the bank, you could live off that interest forever. I mean, and people think, well, it's just $1 million. I don't have $1 million. It's not just $1 million to me, you know? And we look at all the Hollywood and the sports, and it's, I mean, we have a quarterback here in Kansas City that makes $500 million. Think about that. That's $500 million.
To throw a football.
To throw a football. You're like, I don't get it. Our society is just, and it's like, you know, there's no need for him. I mean, he doesn't have no wants or need. I mean, he's taking care of, wants a piece of that, and they're willing to give whatever to him. Right? And that's our society is, you know, it's like, how much can you gain? How much can you gain? Oh, I want to be the richest man in the world. Why? You know, I mean, with all of that riches comes a lot of torment. Ain't gonna tell you that now, you know. So I'm sure Bill Gates and all those billionaires that are billionaires now are going, wow. I would think they would. They're looking back on their life going, wow, I gave up a lot for what? And now you hear about their torment too, because it's all over the news. Bill Gates getting a divorce, or you know, the Bezos guy doing this. And I'm not saying you can't strive to be rich, or you can't strive for what you want to be, but put it into kind of, you know, a realm of, you know what, does all this matter? You know? Yeah, I want to take care of my family, but am I willing to give up 100 hours a week and only give them, and not even give them 68? You know, you still have to sleep and eat, and probably do other things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put it into perspective.
Yeah, you know, you think about it, and like you said, I think a lot of these guys have moved past making money. It's more about making an image for themselves and trying to leave a legacy. But at the same time, like you said, it's like, you know, what kind of legacy are you leaving? You're divorced how many times over? You know, you have kids who, if they're honest, they probably don't see you very often. But you think about those types of things. It's about what brings, when I think about verses 1-4, I think about where the Christian should really find happiness. And in 1-4, it tells us very clearly that greediness and material wealth is not the way to go. Ecclesiastes tells us that as well, obviously. But it's interesting. Remember, let me find this verse here. Christ addresses this very issue. Find this real quick. If I can type correctly. There we go. In Luke 12 and verse 15, Bible says, and he said to them, this being Christ speaking, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That's Luke 12:15. And to me, that is that is a huge thing for us to remember, because it's so easy for us to forget. You know, I have an iPhone sitting over here somewhere. Actually, I'm using it. But, you know, this, it's fine. It's a phone, right? But, you know, some of us, to some degree, if we're not careful, we get caught up because we want, when the newest one hits, so to speak, we want to trade in, pay whatever it takes, and get that new phone. And sometimes people sacrifice a whole lot to do those things. And me personally, I think the Bible will attest to that as well, is that I don't think that should be one of our priorities. I mean, you have a nice phone, great, good for you. I don't think mine is that bad. It's not the newest, but I don't care. I say that to say this, though, we can't keep our focus on material things and make that our priority. You know, we shouldn't be the person who buys a house and 6 months later saying, okay, we need a bigger one, or buys a car and says, okay, 2 months later, we need a bigger one. we need a nicer one, need a faster one, whatever it may be. Because if we look at it, what's interesting is that sometimes those who have very little or have less than what you do are sometimes a lot happier than you are. You know, Mammy mentioned up earlier how, you know, people make more money. What do? They buy more things. And that's right. You know, I'm not a huge fan of his by any means. I mean, I've read some of his books, but Dave Ramsey talks about how when you make more money, you shouldn't raise your, I forget what he called it, basically the idea of you make more money. If you get a raise, make more money. Don't raise your standard of living because you'll just spend more money. Keep it where it was, which is a great thing to do, but it's hard to do as well because you make more money. What do you start doing? You think, boy, it's time to get rid of that junky car and buy a new one. Car that was quote unquote junky was just fine. But that's a hard thing to do to get a raise, to get a promotion, and to not try to raise your standard of living, so to speak. Or at least not raise it too high anyway, right? Where you say, okay, well, I got to get in the raise to pay for everything we just bought. That's a hard thing to do. But if you look at Luke 12 and verse 15, to me, this is a very encouraging verse. Because what Christ is saying here is, hey, don't worry about material stuff. I don't care about any of those things. Material things did not impress Christ. And be honest, why would they? He says there in verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. Now, according to Strong's, covetousness is a greedy desire to have more. Perfect definition, right? The greedy desire to have more. And Christ is warning us about that very thing. He says, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses, which means there's more in life than all the stuff that you get. I mean, that's a great Bible verse to have on a t-shirt right there, right? Put it on the possession, right? But no, to remind us, hey, I need to remember it's not about material stuff. And it's hard, it's tempting sometimes to get in that trap. You go out somewhere and you see something that you think is nice that you want. There's nothing wrong with buying new things or replacing something it needs to be replaced. But we have to keep the proper priority. I think that's what Christ is talking about here. He doesn't say possessions are the end or it's going to be the death of you. He says that life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Nothing wrong with having an automobile, but do we need four or do we need five or six of them? No, we don't. You know, there's things we have to keep, you know, in the proper setting.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that just possessing so much, what do you need all that for? And then you think about the maintenance on everything, right? We got to be aware of covetousness, you know, thinking that we need. And I know you talked about like Dave Ramsey, and, you know, yeah, some of the things are good with him and some of the things I don't agree with, but he's got a good concept. But yeah, I love that saying of, you know, when we do get a raise, we think, man, I can get rid of stuff now. You know, I don't need that crappy car. But a lot of things too, we see that shiny object or we see people that they're like, you're like, man, they bought a new car. Why can't I have one? Well, you know, you don't know. Maybe they got a good raise or maybe somebody helped them buy that car or maybe they bought it all on credit, you know, and they're just making payments, you know, which is, that's your deal, whatever, totally up to you. But I mean, the thing is the devil puts these things in our path to get us away from God, right? We think that we need more and more and more and more. And it's kind of, you look back on your life and you go, wow, I wasted a lot of time, excuse me, looking for things that, wanting things that I didn't need. And that is a great verse, man. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things. It's kind of like that U-Haul phrase, you know. You're going to just store stuff in a U-Haul and bring it to your grave site when you're dead. Yeah, you can't do that. I think we just need to be mindful and not waste our time on such foolish things, you know.
You know, one of the things that always gets me is when sometimes I'll drive past somewhere and I'll see a rundown trailer park. I'm not bashing anyone who lives in a trailer.
No.
Don't take it the wrong way. But I'll see a rundown trailer park and I'll see like a brand new Mustang parked outside. And to me, that always confuses me that someone would allow themselves to live in such a place like that and then have such a extremely nice card. I think that, again, is just a mess up of priorities. You know, we're more concerned about what people see. We think, okay, someone won't actually see where I live, but they may see my car. You know, we want them to put forth that image. I think we need to worry less about that. Okay, we're going to stop there this morning. Well, do you thank you for being here with us on the Uncensored Dad's Uncensored Word podcast. We hope you join us again next time as we'll continue looking at When God Seems Far Away, and we'll continue looking at this particular lesson, Forget Not the Humble. So we thank you for listening, and we will see you again next time.
We thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Wave Media by visiting us at BibleWaveMedia.org. You can also find us on several social media platforms now. We hope you enjoyed this program. We hope you will share with others. And as always, we thank you for listening.